Welcome or welcome back to Church Media HQ, and we are continuing our series this week as we talk about planning ahead at your church in the new year. And I'm looking forward to continuing my conversation with Jeremy Linnentine. My name's Luke Clayton, and this is Church Media HQ. So much good there. A couple of things, thoughts there. You said this, and I've never really thought about it this way. Like we said earlier, when it comes to a sermon, okay, well, the sermon, the message, that's half, at least half of the church experience, any given worship service. It's half of that experience. Well, but like you said, so many times the pastor gets to the pulpit, and that's the first time you've heard about the sermon. They go to say what passage they're preaching out of, and they reveal maybe a title or a topic, and that's the first time. And so interesting. So I'm going to get nerdy on you here for a minute, but in the Disney Plus series, I was actually just talking about this off camera with our producer Bo here. In the Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian, Disney had obviously put a lot of production value, a lot of money into producing this series, and one of the big ways that entertainment companies, movie companies, TV, one of the big ways they make their money, especially with a for those of you who don't know, Mandalorian is an offshoot of Star Wars. So again, a little nerdy moment here. Okay, I'm a Star Wars nerd, whatever. But especially on a franchise like Star Wars, or even something like Frozen or Toy Story, a lot of the ways that Disney or these production companies make their money is off of merchandising. And so I remember hearing one of the big things, the big reveal. And spoiler alert, you've had a whole year to watch it, so I'm sorry I'm spoiling it for you. But the big reveal, you know where I'm going with this, the big reveal about the first episode of The Mandalorian, this brand new first ever Star Wars series, was what they call, what was become known as Baby Yoda, okay? And that was a big deal, and that's really what the entire show has become about. Well, Disney wanted to wait. The creator of the show wanted to wait to reveal that because it was such a big moment of Star Wars. However, because of the timing, Disney actually lost, who knows, countless, I mean, really, it's hard to quantify, but they lost tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even millions of dollars on merchandising, because in order to keep this Baby Yoda thing a secret, they weren't able to produce toys, produce merchandise that they could then sell, especially then or at the time of release around the holiday season. And so what I'm getting at here is that your sermon is, in this case, in this analogy, as foolish as it sounds, it is the big reveal. It is the Baby Yoda. It is the key thing that people are, again, like you said, people are coming to church because they have, in most cases, because they do have some spiritual interest. Your sermon is a big deal. And for you to sit on and kind of hold it and not reveal, what your sermon's about, whether you're intentionally doing that or not, whether you realize it or not, you are potentially withholding great interest and potentially preventing people from coming, not preventing, but hindering people from coming because had they known you were preaching on that particular topic that Sunday, they might have said, oh, you know what? I'm going to go. Whether they're someone who's new or someone who maybe is not your regular attender, they might have said, hey, this is I'm going to go this Sunday because I'm interested in this topic. And so I'm glad. I think that's really interesting that you said that there.
Yeah, and to add to that, I mean, if you're a lead pastor listening right now, or tell your lead pastor this, if the first time that someone's hearing about the message content of the day is when they're sitting in that pew, that puts a lot of strain on the pastor, because that means that we're starting with interest level at zero, and the pastor needs to create all of that hook and that interest in the first 5 minutes of his sermon. But if we've been push promoting on Facebook, and like, let's say we went to the next level and you cut a video saying, or your pastor did, hey, I'm really excited, this weekend we're looking at this topic, and gave like a little teaser to that. Well, what if people were walking in with an interest level, at 20% or at, whatever. Then all of a sudden when you dive in, people are already on edge. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to sell them. It's the reason they got out of bed that morning to go to church, right? Was not for a free giveaway, but for a spiritual truth that they thought was helpful to them or very interesting. And so you're really, you know, you're really selling yourself short if, you know, constantly you're doing zero promotion for your sermon, zero, you know, teasing or creating interest and friction. So you do that by, again, a topic people want to hear about, a problem that people want solved, right? Or sort of the shock way, you know, and that's something that would be, you know, shocking or a little bit controversial. Those are three ways to really create. And you can't do it every single week. And a lot of you are preaching three times a week. You certainly can't do it, you know, 150 times a year. But you can do, you know, three or four or five good sermon series throughout the year, you know, at 4 weeks each. You know, that's about 20 weeks worth of really good draws for people to come into. And also, by the way, to invite other people to come in to listen to this topic too. It gives them ammunition in their, you know, invitation gospel gun there. And so it's helpful for people all around.
Yeah, and I think something, like you said, it's not that you're making a commitment to do this every single Sunday or every single sermon. I think what would help, I like to keep what I've observed, the three seasons of a year for church in mind. And of course, you've got the spring season, which is, you know, January through April, you know, pretty much Easter it marks the around the end of that season. And then you've got the summer, which, you know, is pretty much the entire time that kids are out of school. So May through like August. And then you've got the fall / Christmas season, which would be, you know, September through December. And I've found to be that's kind of the way that churches, whether they realize it or not, they're organically their year is kind of divided into those three seasons. Well, I think if nothing else, you could say, hey, well, you know what? I'm going to do a sermon series in one of the months of the spring season, maybe leading into Easter or something like that. Obviously, doing a particularly captivating or a sermon series designed to draw in somebody from a marketing perspective, doing it in the summer months, maybe not your best time to do it, simply because, okay, the summer people are traveling. Like I said, kids are out of school. So what we're getting at is don't feel like you got to do this every single sermon, every single week. So Jeremy, let me bring full circle around here and ask you a question. In your experience and from what you've seen, if there's a church leader out there, well, actually, first of all, let's talk about the pastor, the one who is the lead pastor. They are the one preaching every week. And they are saying, I've never done this sermon series thing before, or I've never done this, you know, coming up with my topic and promoting it beforehand. I've never done it before. What's one practical step you can say, hey, here is how to start taking that approach? Like I said, either a series or either whether it's promoting a series or promoting even just one sermon and a topic there. What would you say is just a practical first step to convert to from doing it just kind of a week by week to something that's a little bit more planned and a little bit more from a marketing perspective effective?
So most pastors that I talk to are effective either because they're great administrators or they're very good people person, right? So why do they need to, you know, be really good at this creative space? So often whenever a pastor's thinking like, yeah, that sounds great, you know, four good sermon series a year, absolutely, absolutely. The next biggest hurdle obviously is like, okay, well, what would be massively appealing? I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. So to get over the hump, I'd say that, you know, all of us use social media tools, but we use it idly, you know, just to scroll or to see pictures of other, you know, families, kids, or whatever else. And so you could use it, and there's a lot of good groups on Facebook, right, to just put out there. And this is the time of year where right now they're putting out there all the time, hey, what sermon series are you guys planning on preaching for next year? I personally am not an original creative mind myself. I have to steal every idea, all the content, just steal it from somewhere. And so I would say that probably the best thing to do if you're not naturally creative and thinking about good topic or subject material, is just to ask around. I'm friends with a lot of preacher friends on Facebook for the reason that if I see that they're in a sermon series I think is appealing, I'll write it down. I'll try to capture as many ideas as I possibly can. And I think also that a lot of pastors do a lot of reading, but they don't let it work its way into their sermons. If you know, had read a really great book, you know, in this last year or recently, or you have one on your shelf, I think going through a sermon series that follows a book is a really, really good idea. An example, we followed one a pastor, R.B. Ouellette, wrote a book, When You Can't Just Get Over It. And it talks basically about helping people get through hard times when they're just stuck in their life, either depressed or knocked down or defeated or whatever. And anytime you talk about, you know, helping someone get over a tough time or depression or whatever, it's just, it's massively accepted. It's sort of a breath of fresh air. And so we did a sermon series following a lot of those same chapters because it was really good in print. And guess what? It was really good in message. And so I think that, you know, if you're like me, you've got to go out there and just try to source and find ideas wherever you can. And keep open for those ideas. It's great to get sermons from the Bible, but it's that's the best spot, obviously. But it's also okay just to copy from other people that are doing things successfully or that have written successful stuff. So I say if you need to get unstuck, because that's the hardest thing, like, well, what would make a really good sermon series in October? I have no idea. It's January. I don't know. You know, there are certain issues that are just good all year round. And, you know, you've been preaching longer than I have. I know that you can figure that part out. But I would say that you've got to give, you know, if you're a pastor listening to this, you've got to give your creative team under you, whether that's an assistant, whether that's just a volunteer that you know could do a little bit of research for you and is good with this kind of stuff. You've got to give them something to work with. So, yeah, you need to pick a couple of topics that you say that we can handle. And then you can, you know, include them to help you sort of flesh it out. And certainly illustrate it out to make it appealing for people.
Yeah, well, I like kind of what you were saying is I think it, especially if it's something that you're not familiar with as far as this idea of maybe preaching in a sermon series or preaching about a topic that could be potentially compelling and engaging and something that from a marketing perspective that I say is marketable. It's something that you could put out there and put it on, you know, on invite cards, on websites, on social media, whatever, to get people to interested in coming. There's no shame in using a book as a guideline or maybe some type of a curriculum even just to kind of say, hey, this is going to get me started and get me used to this idea of preaching in series. And then I always like to say, again, because my angle that I'm always coming at is I'm looking at it from the promotion side, from the marketing side. I always tell people, if you don't feel like you have to do a, you know, 12-week series or, you know, even a 6-week series, it's okay to come in and say, you know what, I'm going to start with 4 weeks. You know, I'm going to start with just something that lasts for the month. You know, we're in January. Maybe you come up with something in February about the topic of love. You know, there's Valentine's Day. Okay, boom, there we go. Well, I'll talk about marriage and relationships for 4 weeks, the 4 weeks of February or whatever. And boom. I mean, you don't have to commit to anything further than that. And in my experience, what I've seen, again, from the marketing perspective, is that a lot of times that 4 week, maybe 5 or 6 week formula is really the perfect link from a marketing perspective for a sermon or for a sermon series, because it's just long enough to keep people engaged and keep them coming back. But it's also not too long to where people say, okay, move on to the next topic. I'm bored with this. Anyways, that's the thing. And one more thing I do, I remember a pastor that I, you know, if I were to say his name, everybody, a lot of people would know who he is. And he's kind of known for preaching in series. And I remember one time I was in a room with him, and he was talking about how he managed his sermon series and whatever, because he always preached in series. And he said, you know, when I sit down and plan out my calendar, I take it one or two ways. First of all, he did a lot of, kind of verse by verse, you know, speaking when it comes to like preaching through maybe a book of the Bible or something. But then he always said this: I think of a topic that's going to be relevant, that's going to be interesting, but that's also very broad. So for example, one of his series I remember was, I mean, really, I think the title of it was The Power of God. Okay, well, that's a very, his creative team was able to get behind him, make some cool, you know, graphics and videos and stuff to promote that. But that's an extremely broad topic. And any given Sunday, he could get up and preach from just about any passage that he felt led, and he was able to follow that topic and make it applicable to that. And so I think a lot of times people think of, and again, I like what you said earlier, big disclaimer there. A lot of the pastors, especially listening, they've been preaching. We're not trying to tell anybody how to preach. But I think a lot of times this idea of, you know, doing a sermon series or promoting promoting some type of a sermon, it can seem really overwhelming. But if you just take a few practical steps, you can really get started in taking this approach. And what you're going to see, I can almost guarantee it, is you're going to see your church grow. You're going to see people start to come and be more engaged and more interested because you're advertising the biggest product your church offers, and that is your sermons.
Right. And if I got to jump in here and say this one thing, Luke, if you're new to this, please let me beg you, 4 to 6 weeks is the sweet spot. I know that a lot of people think, okay, well, there's four quarters in a year, so that's 13 weeks. So all the sermons I could do are 13 weeks. I just have a couple broad questions. Number one, do you think you have 13 weeks of highly engageable, highly impactful material on that one issue? Probably not. I sat under a pastor who did a Wednesday night series that went on for 20 months on the book of Proverbs. And look, it was really, really good for the first like 7 weeks. And I mean, this guy was a more talented preacher and orator than I could ever dream of being. But there wasn't 20 months of 20 months of material there. There wasn't 20 months of sustained interest there. And so I think that, you know, you want to, as they would say, leave everybody wanting more, right? And so, yes, you might be able to stretch this to 8 weeks, but I guarantee you that there's 4 or 5 or 6 impactful weeks there that you could really draw out of. And I also like what Luke said about, you know, if you focus in really, really narrow, you might have a hard time, you know, doing 4 to 5 weeks on that. If you do, you know, a sermon series on hurts and hangups, I mean, easily there's 6 different weeks there of material, you know, that people would want to listen to. But we've found, and I think most people have found, that 4 to 6 weeks is the perfect length for a Sunday morning series. I realize on Wednesday night, typically people are doing more Bible study type stuff, and that's great. That can go on a little bit longer and such. But a Sunday morning series with people that are coming in who are not the most faithful core people of your church, 4 to 6 weeks is a huge sweet spot.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I am always looking at this from an angle of marketing, from an angle of promotion, from an angle of just how do people's minds work? How do they engage with content? You know, and even, I mean, honestly, you even think about going back to the example of, you know, television. Sometimes the best television series are the ones that only have maybe 6 to 8 episodes any given season. And, you know, so you just kind of look at how people work, how people engage. And that very often is, like I said, that 4 to 6 weeks. And I think if nothing else, again, take a step back and say, hey, look, we got 12 months of the year. If I'm just starting at this, okay, I'm going to pick 8 months and I'm just going to pick a topic each month. I mean, again, just from a marketing perspective, it's going to get people engaged. It's going to get them interested. And so I really like your thoughts on that. And I hope that, as people have been listening, to the, and or watching the episodes here, that they've gotten a lot of engaging content about sermon series. Now, here's something I got a question for you, Jeremy. Now, in the past, I should say this, over the past few months, I guess really something I learned kind of in 2020 is I used to be really big on pushing that your church need to have kind of big events, like one big event. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. But the more that I've studied churches and what they're doing and what effective churches are doing, they tend to lean more into the idea of a series or a campaign even, rather than saying, hey, we're going to make everything about one big event. So here's what I think happens. We have Easter. That is the natural, organic, one big event that every, you know, church is going to do. I mean, if you're a church that doesn't celebrate Easter, then you're Jewish. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not an actual evangelical church. And so I think we take this idea of, well, Easter is obviously one big Sunday on the calendar. And we can many times be tempted to try to replicate that at other times throughout the year. And I've seen churches, and again, I'm not saying that is wrong, but here's kind of been my thought that I've been kind of thinking on and talking about recently is, well, what if instead of taking all the energy you put into just hosting, you know, one big event, maybe one big Sunday at your church, that you take that same, you know, energy And it really is not going to take that much more energy to maybe make that into a 3 or 4 week campaign, or that accompanies maybe a sermon series. Now, I know, Jeremy, I know you guys, we've talked about it. You guys have done a lot of good, effective kind of one-time events, one-off events. But I also know you've experimented more in recent years with taking this more of a focus on a sermon series approach. Where are you at on that? What are your thoughts on that whole concept?
Okay, perfectly relevant. I don't think you know that we did this, but so yes, when you're pushing one big event, which we have done for all the time that I've been here, you know, you always talk to those people and they're like, oh, that sounds so great. I'd love to go to your friend day or to your Easter or to your fall, you know, day or whatever, but I'm out of town that week, right? Or they meant to come and they slept in that Sunday because they're not in the habit of getting up and going to church. Well, you had that one shot, right? And so we printed 5,000 to 7,000 flyers for that one day, right? And maybe it's bad weather that day, maybe someone's out of town, whatever. So what we did that actually this year for the first time, sort of at your prompting and because we talked about it, was we took the whole basic month of December and printed up a bunch of flyers, and actually today at the time of this recording, I'm going out later today to give out a bunch more of them. And on the back, so we just named it Christmas at Gospel Light, and we just took the whole month of December to focus in on this. But we did a special sermon series for all of those Sundays, and so on the back of that flyer was listed, we're going to do, you know, this week 1, 2, 3, and then here's our big Christmas, you know, musical program on this day. But what it did is it allowed our people to invite someone and say, hey, I want you to come, do any of these Sundays work for you, right? And this is our big Christmas program, you know, music, do you want to come to that? And if not, can you, but just come to something, right? And it allowed us to get out those 5,000 invites that spanned a month, so 4 total Sundays, instead of just one, you know, grand slam opportunity that someone might, you know, miss out on or whatever. So I think it gave our people, especially, a bigger invitation window. It opened up that opportunity a little bit wider. And then also it helped us again to promote the Bible message, you know, as the thing, you know, we're going to especially be looking at this, right? So come for that. And so that was a good opportunity. And I think that we're going to do that going forward, mixing that in for Easter as well, to give people, again, a bigger window to invite some of their friends, coworkers, neighbors to come to.
Yeah, and again, a lesson learned in 2020, because churches had to start thinking about this whole new, you know, I think I saw somewhere this might have been the word of the year or the term of the year, I can't remember, but one of them was social distancing. Okay, this is something we've never heard of before, but this new phrase introduced in 2020. And so churches had to start thinking, all right, well, what can we do to spread out our crowd? And I think this is how your church ultimately arrived on this. One of the big factors was, well, in order to keep it safe, instead of trying to pack everybody into our church on one given Sunday or weekend, we're going to spread it out over the course of, you know, 4 weeks or so. And you know, we said Easter tends to be the organic, you know, okay, yeah, that's when, you know, you're going to have the one big event. But I like what you kind of already alluded to. And I do think that you could look at your spring calendar and you can even make Easter a part of a campaign or a sermon series. And so I'm not sure what you guys have planned. You know, I know right now you're just at the time of recording this. Of course, you're still in the thick of the Christmas season. But I'd be really interested to see how you guys look to tackle that at Easter 2021.
Absolutely. And we can come back and talk onto that. And by the way, speaking of what you said about spreading out, I remember when we had a one Sunday, it was actually when we opened up in our new building and we invited a lot of people and so many people came. We had extra chairs out in the aisle. Actually, we kicked open the doors and we had about 40 people sitting out into the lobby, just listening in or whatever. And for all of us on staff here and working here, it was super great. Like, oh, this is so great. You know who it wasn't great for was that person who came for the first time and sat right next to somebody they didn't know. It's not great for them. So we love, you know, buildings filled over the fire capacity. But that first time guest who's bringing their family, who doesn't know anybody, they probably don't like it as much as you do. And so spreading out, you know, again, like you said, you know, my 8-year-old knows what social distancing is now. And for church workers, now we understand spreading out, you know, people. But allowing that invitation of several weeks in a row of, you know, big weeks or whatever, special weeks, That allows you to sort of spread out the crowd too, because I guarantee you someone would rather sit in a room that's at 70%, right, than at 110% capacity. It's fun for you, but it might be miserable for that person who you really want to get in your church who came for the first time.
Well, thanks again for joining us here at Church Media HQ. We hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening or maybe watching this content. We're available on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many more platforms beyond that. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel so that whenever we drop new episodes or new content, you will be notified. And you can also like this video on YouTube or even on Facebook, and that is a huge help because it helps the content get seen by other church leaders like you. And we are grateful every time you join us for our episodes and the new content that we drop, and you hope you will continue to join us in the weeks ahead. Well, as always, I want to challenge you this week, try something new. Just try something. Whether you think it's going to work or not, just try something, because it is always so much better to fail at trying something great than to succeed at doing the average. See you next time on Church Media HQ.